Amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel and start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day and for the changing of the showbread and an opportunity to come together and have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the faith. We thank you for blessing us with forgiveness and cleansing us from all unrighteousness so that we can be worthy of the latter rain. And we pray for that, Father, and this is why we also thank you for the trials that come our way so that we can be ready for that rain. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those we lifted up last night and all those that are in attendance and all those around the world that believe as we do now. And, Father, those that do the work, whether it's helping those of us that do it or actually partaking in the work itself, thank you for blessing them. And thank you for keeping that hedge of angels around them and around us. And we offer this prayer unto you, Lord, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Oops. Okay. It's Testimony Sabbath. We're still going to do the study, of course, but this has got to be one of my favorite Sabbaths. So amen and amen. I want to welcome Jacqueline and Teddy, new visitors to the truth. I've got your emails and... in regards to texting, and so I can hopefully get that done for you today, if depending upon how busy it gets in here when we start doing the testimonies. But anyway, and if seeing as you're new, if you want to follow along in the study, you just scroll underneath the chat room, and you'll see that we're in lesson number 24. And we're on question number 14, which is, what instructions illustrate how certain household details are not to be taken care of during the Sabbath hours? And the answer is found in Exodus 35, verse 3. Thank you, Brother Gorin, and welcome back. Missed you there for a while. Exodus 35, verse 3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Now, when Jesus arrived as Messiah, many Jews were under the burden of their leaders who took verses like this way out of context. Because it says they should not or could not kindle a fire, the Jews were even unable to light a prepared fire or even a candle on Sabbath day. So often, and especially when it was cold, they would employ the services of Gentiles to start their fires or light their candles. But the word is plain. They cannot kindle a fire on Sabbath. And here's the strange thing, too, because quite a few died, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I don't know if you heard about that one family where the dad and five of the kids died. I believe it was five of the kids. It was up in New Jersey, I think. And they were a Jewish family. And because of fanaticism, as we see with some, you know, and we've dealt with this before. Some people say, you can't even turn your lights on Sabbath day because someone's working. Now, there's a direct and an indirect action involved in condoning work. And so, but I don't want to get into that right now because we've covered that quite a few times. Anyway, this man was, you know, he was obviously subject to that fanaticism. And so what he did is what the Jews of old would do, like, say, right before the sun goes down, they'll light their candles or they'll light their fires. And even though, you know, the candle would the candles would have to burn all night long. They were not allowed to snuff them out. I mean, if they went out on their own, it's no big deal, but they couldn't snuff them out. which meant during the day, for the remainder of the Sabbath, because the dark part of the day comes first. We know all about Creation Week. They would have to deal with lit candles and fires all over the place, even if it was a nice day. Say they had a cold night, and they had to make sure they lit the fire. The fire itself could also go out as well. So, but that man in New Jersey, I believe it was of that mindset. And so he turned on his lights before the Sabbath fell, and he had a hot plate that he turned on as well, so that he could warm his food in the morning, because he couldn't turn that hot plate on the following morning when he wanted to heat the food or whatever, because you can warm up food. And because he did that, there was something wrong with the hot plate. It sparked a fire, burned the house down, and killed him and the kids. And, on Friday, the Jews of old were taught to prepare for the coming Sabbath. So, like we do on what we call to this day Preparation Day, you chop up your food, if need be, for meals. They would go out into the woods, and they would cut down trees if they had to, and they would split the wood if they had to, and they would gather the kindling and bring it into the fireplace. They did all of that so that on Sabbath day, all the hard work of kindling the fire was already done, as were all the meals all set and just ready to be heated. All preparations were done on the day of preparation. That's why we call it that. But as we see even today, some love to twist the truth to put burdens on people, and some even twist the passage to mock the Lord. And so, some people will, say you can't kindle fires, and so they eat cold food or freeze in their homes and so on and so forth. But here's the thing. You cannot use the stove, like some will say, on Sabbath day. So, but look at how the stove works. Thousands of years ago, like I was just intimating here a moment ago, you had to go out to the woods, you had to gather the wood, you had to chop it up, you had to knock the trees down if you had to, you had to split the wood and place it in the fireplace. And then you have to use that little baler thing, and you'll light the fire and kind of blow on it with that baler thing to get it going. And then before you did all that, you had to go back outside to get all the kindling, the little twigs and stuff like that, and then dried leaves and straw, small twigs, whatever you can get your hands on, so you can bring it back into the house and stuff them underneath the logs to burn them and rub the two sticks together, because they didn't have matches back then. So rubbing the two sticks together until the friction causes a spark, and then get a glowing ember, and then take the ember and place it in a bundle of fine straw and blow on it until it ignites, and then the tinder, is well lit and it's got a good flame going, so then you place that in the straw that's in the kindling that's under the fire, and then blow on it with that baler thing and catch the kindling on fire, and then you have a fire. That's a lot of work. Today, you turn a knob. So there's a big difference. There's no labor involved, just like there was no labor involved in, like say if you had like a lot of times people would already have a flame burning somewhere in the house at all times, thousands of years ago. You just take a little stick, get the end of it burning, put it in the fire, and you're off and running. So it seems obvious to me that kindling a fire in ancient times, it was pretty intense labor for those of us that like to camp every now and then, you know what I mean. But we have matches and lighter fluid or charcoals or whatever the case may be, One of these days, I am going to start a fire. I got one of those strikers. I got it in the camper. And it throws a really good spark. I've never tried, the rubbing the two sticks together thing, but I'd like to try that one of these days just to see what's involved with that. And I want to do it completely natural. I mean, I would get vines to make the string on the stick, The only thing unnatural, I guess, I would have would be a pocket knife, so I can shape the things that I need to shape. So, anyway, turning a knob on the stove, it's just like with a Sabbath day journey. A Sabbath day journey was under a mile, and it was only allowed under a mile on Sabbath day because they walked everywhere. Today, you sit down on a couch with armrests in a car. So, not a lot of effort there either, so... All right, question number 15. What is Friday called, which indicates that all cooking and cleaning for the Sabbath is to be done the day before? And I kind of already touched on this, but let's just go ahead and go for it. Luke 23, verse 54, it says, And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And then Mark 15:42 actually says, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. So, pretty obvious. And as I shared a moment ago, Friday is called day of preparation because we need to prepare for Sabbath. When I look back, I kind of wonder, because I know they numbered the days of the week. The names of the week, and we covered this, last week or the week before. The names of the week were given, the names that we have today are pagan names, like in worship of like Woden's Day, which is called Wednesday, or Frig Day, which is Friday, or Saturn Day, which is Saturday, you know, stuff like that, or Moon Day for Monday. And so it's all pagan gods. And but back in Bible times, it was day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then you had the Sabbath was the only one that was actually given a name. Although I would think Friday, or what we call Friday, wouldn't be called number 6. It would be called Preparation Day, or whatever they called it in Hebrew, but it would mean Preparation Day. I mean, it's just common sense. So, we all know we're supposed to prepare food on Friday, because even cutting up vegetables on Sabbath is considered food preparation, and that would have to have been done on Friday, the day preparation. So, like, for example, if you make meatless tacos, for example, because most of us here are either vegan or vegetarian, you can't be chopping up the tomatoes that you could have put in there. They have to have been chopped up the night before, or day before, not the night, because then it would have been Sabbath. But were you also aware that when the Sabbath draws near, we're all supposed to cultivate a guarded state of mind so as to prevent even our actions from soiling the Sabbath? It says this, and we covered this verse before, but it says this in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A lot of people miss this passage, because it says the Sabbath is my holy day, but all the world says the Lord's day is Sunday. The actual term Lord's day was manipulated long beforehand. In pagan days, it was Sunday. It was the day of the sun, of course, as we, like I just talked about before, like Sunday was for the sun god Baal. But like, they like to take it out of context in regards to when the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Everybody says, well, there you have it, Sunday. It proves it was Sunday. Well, no, the only way it proves it's Sunday is if you believe the paganistic theology of what they call the Lord's Day. Because Isaiah 58 is clear. The Lord's Day is the Sabbath. And it also says in Malachi, I am the Lord thy God, I change not, right? And so since that's the case, you know, Christian Sabbath has always been the seventh day. It's always been. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 321 AD when Constantine set up the first Sunday laws on March 7th that Christians actually started keeping Sunday holy. And they did that out of fear, of course. But so many preachers today say that Sunday keeping started when Jesus rose from the dead. But there isn't a single Bible verse to back that up from Genesis to Revelation. Not even in the bogus books of the Apocrypha are you going to find that Sunday was sanctioned by God. Not even there. As a matter of fact, a Catholic church actually wrote a book called Rome's Challenge to Protestants, where they admit in writing that there is no Bible verse. And they say that is so to get the people to come back to Mother Rome, because they're all keeping Sunday holy. Rome invented it. And so they put that out there saying that, look, this proves we are your church because you have been keeping our Sabbath. So, again, it's not just about preparing food, like it says here in Isaiah 58. If we do that which entertains us on Sabbath, we rob God by taking the precious hours of the Sabbath to our own use, which is strictly the Lord's use. We should not do for ourselves nor even allow our children to do things on Sabbath that could have been done on the previous 6 working days of the week. Friday's a day of preparation. Time should be devoted to make the necessary preparation for the Sabbath. You know, whatever that may be, especially if you expect loved ones to be with you on Sabbath. Yes, I understand some of us have children that do not believe as we do. But you have to respect the Sabbath hour when they visit. You know, and our kids do, and I praise God for that because, you know, all of our kids understand what the Sabbath is all about. But some of them don't walk as they should because we originally raised them Roman Catholic. And so by the time we found out the truth, they were already young teenagers. And so that's our cross to bear. Some of you are going through the same thing, but don't bow to their pressure. Like say, if you find out about the Sabbath in your 60s and you've got kids that are in their 30s and they want to come to your house on Sabbath day and do things that you can't allow, you have to put your foot down. Now, if you declare unto them that what they're doing is wrong, and they choose to do it anyway, you've done all you can. You can't force them. You can just say, this is my house. This is my home. You have to respect it. And if they refuse to respect it, well, the next time they want to come over on Sabbath day, just tell them, no, see you on Sunday, or Monday, or Wednesday, whatever the case may be. So, now, and here's another thing too. If your children have children, do they discipline those children in your home on Sabbath day? If not, your heart will most assuredly be vexed. You know, like if they got little, your grandkids, in other words. So prepare on Friday if you know they're coming. You can plan a day of walking in the woods on Sabbath so as to prevent the children from seeking amusements, arguing, or who knows what on Sabbath, you know. Nothing which is seen by our God as a violation of the holy Sabbath should be allowed upon His holy day. Our Lord not only requires we refrain from physical labor on Sabbath, but that the mind be disciplined to dwell upon sacred themes as well. For example, something as simple as texting a friend on Sabbath about things that are speaking thine own ways is virtually considered sin by your Lord. Either we stand firm in Jesus or we do not. Talking upon anything or everything which may come into the mind is speaking our own words. This includes gossip, which, by the way, should never be done on any day of the week, to be honest with you. I mean, it's bad enough some people gossip during the week. To do so on Sabbath is truly soiling the Sabbath, and you're going to be held accountable for it. So every deviation from right brings us into bondage and condemnation. When we do as we please, Satan can cultivate his spirit deep within us to continue on all the way to the flames of hell. Because that's what he's going for. Misery loves company. So please, I implore you to look upon the Sabbath as a heavenly vacation each and every week. Look at it this look at it as the day the Lord sends an extra number of angels to your home to enjoy Sabbath with you. Because the truth of the matter is, angels do enjoy residing in Christian homes, especially when the Lord is being glorified. Okay, number 16. Let's see if we can do another one here. What did Nehemiah say to those who purchased food and wares from merchants on the Sabbath? Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says this. And Brother Gorin had to leave and come back, and I guess it's a little choppy. Am I choppy for everybody else? Because I'm not using that other browser. I should be okay. Oh, okay, good. Oh, Brother Gorin's back. Okay, all right, good. All right, so Nehemiah 13, verses 16 to 17. It says, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do? And profane the Sabbath day? Not a lot of people do that today. You know, not a lot of people would stand up in the, in the ninth hour church when they know what they're preaching and teaching is wrong right before you leave. Has anybody, you know, do some people stand up? I mean, yeah. So I would think the overwhelming majority of the people that are here that used to be SDA did in fact do all they can to speak to the pastor or some of the people in the church. But as just about everybody knows, sometimes it's going to fall on deaf ears most of the time anyway. But you got to do what you got to do. When Jesus walked among us, he emphasized the mandatory claims of the Sabbath upon all those seeking to do his Father's will. In all his teachings, he showed perfect reverence for the institution he himself had sanctified in the Garden of Eden on day 7 of Creation Week. Just as we see in Nehemiah's day, we also see in the days that Jesus visited us. The Sabbath had become so perverted that its observance reflected the character of a haphazard people, just like it always does. Anyone with a believable opinion on how Sabbath should be kept was embraced by everyone seeking man's opinion over God's written will. In other words, if they can really fluff up or twist the scriptures in such a way that it sounds believable, that it's perfectly okay to do that on Sabbath, well, they're going to go for it. They're going to look for any license they can to go forth and do what they want to do, as long as they feel they have a Bible verse to back it up. And this is one of the reasons for the bogus Bibles, where, you know, that when prophecy is fulfilled in regards to the defiled bread, you know, like with the NIV or the NASB or the Douay Rheims or any of the modern Bibles, all of them are corrupt. All of them have thousands of verses missing, and all of them have thousands of verses rewritten, some of them completely turned around, saying the exact opposite of what it says in King James. And so people clam into those Bibles because it makes them, it's just like what Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 predicted. It makes them feel like everything's okay. They're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. But they're going to want you to call them Christians just so they can take away their shame, because they're getting all sorts of okays from their Bible that they can do this and they can do that, or there's nothing in their Bibles about not doing this or not doing that because those verses are gone. And no, I wouldn't say today's King James is corrupt. The punctuation was added later, which did cause some verses to seem corrupt. But that's where the theology of Isaiah, where it says line upon line, precept upon precept comes in. But the new King James, that one's corrupt, yeah. I mean, it's even got the 666 right on the cover. Yeah, that's maybe what he was intimating, the new King James. Because, I mean, right on the cover, they got that weird symbol that represents three sixes. So, and they thought they were being clever by calling it the new KJV, because a lot of people knew what was going on. And the King James Bible is hated for a good reason by the Vatican, because I don't know if any of you have ever seen the actual preface of the King James Bible, the original one. This is what kind of ticks me off, and this is why I put it on my website. The preface of the King James Bible is no longer put in the King James Bible anymore. They removed it, because in that preface, it calls the Pope Antichrist. And so they removed that. They kept the rest of the Bible intact, but they removed the preface. And so I put that on the website. So, anyway, like with where the people are looking for, like getting back to what I was talking about in regards to the people looking for man's opinion over God's written will, it's no different than today. When I was a Sunday keeper, everyone I knew had a different opinion on how to keep that day holy, because I thought Sunday was Sabbath, right? And then what was really strange was, for the most part, they all agreed that going to church was necessary, but they also agreed that working, buying and selling and playing sports and gathering in restaurants after church were perfectly acceptable with God. Now, being a Sabbath keeper just over 20 years, I see this very same selfish mindset in how some ninth hour believers and Seventh-day Sabbath believers, because there are some other ones out there, keep this day. In fact, I know of many ninth-hour pastors who claim you can do everything the Sunday keepers do on Sabbath day. I know some of present today actually testified that you left your previous churches because the people, as well as the pastors in your churches, were gathering in restaurants on the Sabbath after church. Some church schools even have sporting events on Sabbath so as to compete with the Sunday Keeping Sports Network, because they don't do it on their Roman Sabbath. So they have to do it on God's Sabbath, and then they go along with it. And I even heard a pastor, with my own ears, declare to his people that they could work their regular 9-to-5 job Sabbath day every week and be scheduled every week if they so choose, as long as they sent their paycheck for that day to him. Yeah, I know. That's something, you know, that's just ridiculous. I understand emergencies. I understand if you're... Because I was in, you know, I worked a secular job for many years as a Sabbath keeper. And I remember telling my boss, you know, especially with the new bosses I was looking for, no one would hire me for 16 straight months. Even though I had a wife and 8 kids, they didn't care because I wouldn't work Saturday or Friday after sundown. But then when I finally found a place, they didn't have, you know, it was a real blessing. It finally happened. But, I told my boss, I says, look, if there's an emergency, yeah, I'll be here on Sabbath. But it's going to have to be an emergency. Because I understand the theology about the ox falling in the ditch. I'll be there. Don't worry about it. But just don't schedule me. And he didn't have a problem with it. And you'd be surprised how many bosses don't have a problem with it, especially if you tell them you'll work every Sunday, every holiday, you know, even Mother's Day or Father's Day. You know, because I used to do scheduling. I used to run a Brown's Chicken. I used to be a supervisor for, you know, my dad's business too for years. And I loved it when people came up to me and say, yeah, they'll work any day of the week. You know, because I wasn't a Sabbath keeper, of course, but there were times like Christmas or Halloween or whatever the case, all these weird holidays that the world has. Some people, it was like pulling teeth to get people to come to work. I mean, so we can't close our doors because somebody wants to go out and put trees under, you know, gifts underneath a tree or something, because we had, you know, especially in Brown's Chicken, because that was the busiest day of the year. Well, Mother's Day and Christmas was the busiest day of the year because the family was always giving mom the night off. And so they would load mom down with a bunch of chicken. And so, you know, well, like the store would usually do 8 to 10 grand a week. You would do 8 to 10 grand a day on Mother's Day or Christmas Day. Or Easter, you know, yeah, Easter was, they had, you know, and then Thanksgiving, no, we didn't cook turkeys. So it was a slow day. But you'd be surprised because, you know, a lot of people are fearful to approach their boss. And I tell them, well, pray first, of course, but you'd be surprised how many people have come back to me on the phone and in emails and says, wow, I never expected that. Because my boss was okay with it. But then some people won't even attempt to approach their boss and then continue on in the pay. And so they forfeit the blessing. I've seen people get fired because of keeping Sabbath, and all of a sudden they're blessed with a job they never even thought they would be worthy of. Twice the pay. I mean, it's just, oh, it's amazing. So when you hear these kind of preachers in the ninth hour church saying that, yeah, go ahead and work on Sabbath day, and yes, this includes nurses and doctors and police. And I understand that, you know, okay, especially with police, you might have an emergency every Sabbath, but unless there's an emergency, you shouldn't be working. Nurses, the same thing, because I think you're going to be really hard pressed to find a hospital that every single solitary employee in that hospital keeps Sabbath. Someone's going to take your place. And I'm not saying you're condoning it. What I'm saying is, there's businesses out here that I always use an example of. There's like a home out here where they take care of special kids. And on Sabbath day, they tell their employees, look, if you want to come to work tomorrow, you can. But it's strictly voluntary. And what we usually do during the week, we won't be doing on Sabbath day. There won't be any video games for the kids. There won't be any TV turned on. And there won't be any paycheck for you either. You're not going to get paid for this day. It's going to be a completely different day. It's structured differently because it is Sabbath. We're, even though these children are retarded, we're going to show them what the Sabbath is. And they were okay with it. A lot of the employees would go ahead and work that day without pay. And so, this is why, by the way, so many people are leaving the Babylonian churches of today. The Lord is calling them out, and this is one surefire way to get them to hear and obey, especially in the ninth hour church, wherein they claim to be Sabbath keepers. Why do they leave? It's because these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. It's Revelation 14:4. Hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.